Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
If in the average of temperatures around the area, it's 33 degrees, which brings up an interesting fact to me about truth and physics, and it either is or it isn't. It either freezes or it doesn't freeze. Being close to freezing doesn't matter. If it's 33, water will not freeze, so you don't have to worry about that. And with everything else, it would have to be 32 for a long time, but that's here. If you average the temperatures, of course, the North Shore was under a freeze warning and expected to last until 9 o'clock. Otherwise, highs today of 47, 49 tomorrow, 61 warming on Friday with a chance for showers. Another front comes through, cools it off for Saturday and Sunday. Cold Saturday, highs of 47, 55 on Sunday. Plenty of sunshine, NFL playoffs, no Saints game, but what are you going to do? Justin Buechler joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. Seinfeld be damned. If it's somebody I haven't spoken to in a while and it's the first couple of weeks of the year, I'm going to tell them Happy New Year. So Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
We've been obsessed here, and rightfully so, with the Bourbon Street terror attacks. We've kind of lost track a little bit of what's been going on with Washington, D.C., with President-elect Trump and his transition. I happened to be in D.C. over the weekend, and it was locked down like crazy, and I presume it's going to be that way all the way through the inauguration. Of course, yesterday, the arrival of former President Carter's remains to Lyon State at the Rotunda. Let me ask you about the January 6th certification of electors. Went off without a hitch, right?
Yeah, it did, which was change of pace from 4 years ago when we remember 4 years ago, but this year what happened was what should have happened, and apparently we can have a little bit of normalcy.
And that's the point I was trying to make. What happened on Monday, and I'm not trying to go back, but what happened on Monday is just a routine procedure, which is the way, not a real procedure, but a routine process, and that's the way it's supposed to work. It's basically a rubber stamping, correct?
Correct, and that's
ceremonial
what it
was
be.
The word I was looking for, ceremonial.
Yeah, it's ceremonial, and it should be ceremonial. It's not supposed to be anything big because the actual process is the voting process. The votes are counted. The states allocate their electors. They're reported to Congress. Congress just votes to certify. The role of the vice president is purely ceremonial. And the boring thing was boring, and boring things are supposed to be boring.
Which is good. Let's talk about, I was having a conversation with a very ardent Trump supporter over the weekend, and they were telling me that they thought it was going to be different this year, that he was going to be more focused and understands now how the government works, and that there wasn't going to be a lot of, I don't know what word I'm trying to think, the opposite of excitement, that it was going to be boring, that it was just going to be the routine workings of government, that former President Trump knew now understood how the government worked, and it was going to be a different administration for him. However, at a press conference, the press conference that he had yesterday and some other ones, they've been kind of free flowing, haven't they?
Yeah, well, he said some interesting things, which we're accustomed to. He said some things about, you know, Greenland and the Panama Canal. And I think what we have to remember is that with Donald Trump comes a variety of things. He says a lot of, let's just say, provocative things, and there's a lot of noise, and we have to figure out what we need to ignore and disregard and what is important. And that's the challenge with having Donald Trump as president, is it's not always clear what needs to be ignored and what is actually prelude to action, because he has said some very interesting things of late. But we had 4 years of him as president, and some of what he said just needed to be ignored.
Well, and along those lines, I remember years ago when President Obama was elected, somebody texted in and said, why does he stammer so much at the press conferences? And I told the person, I don't think he stammers. I think he chooses his words carefully because as the leader of the free world and perhaps the most powerful person in the world, some would debate that, you have to be careful what you say because words mean things. With President Trump and in his first administration, I wonder, Professor, I guess what I'm asking is, do the words spoken by the president carry the same weight or with the same seriousness, or is it all about what's happening behind the scenes? Because we know President Trump is, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, he's a showman. That's what he is, right? He's an entertainer. And Ronald Reagan was an entertainer. I get that. But President Trump at press conferences can tend to wander off with stream of consciousness things and say some things that are on his mind. Does the rest of the world ignore that and know that the government is functioning as normal as the American government can function behind the scenes? Thoughts on that?
Well, that's the question mark, because there are aspects of the government that will function regardless of the, let's just say, very interesting things that Donald Trump says. And there are aspects of the government that will not function quite as well. And part of the problem is that it's not always clear what needs to be disregarded and what should be taken seriously, because some of what happens when Trump is in front of the cameras is that he is just speaking extemporaneously. And when he does that, he will say interesting things that should be disregarded. And leaders around the world do to some degree understand that some of that should be disregarded. The problem is that sometimes the interesting ideas that come out of his mouth extemporaneously reflect desires that he will try to put into action. And he was frequently stymied. If you remember, during his first term, he would go into various meetings and he would make demands that simply could not be met in policy terms. And that means that other leaders around the world do understand that when he says really interesting things, a lot of that will not be translated into policy action. The problem is trying to figure out what actually will translate into some kind of policy action and what is just noise, and we don't always know.
And, you know, going back, we got to take a break here for traffic, but I'm reminded of Ronald Reagan with his, and I'll put it in air quotes, gaffe of when he was testing a mic, didn't know or whatever it was that he was on an open mic and said, we've begun, and I'm paraphrasing here terribly, but we begin bombing in 3 minutes. To this day, I wonder if he knew he was on an open mic and was trying to send a message to the Russians that you're dealing with a crazy old man here, and I put that in air quotes as well, or it was a legitimate gaffe. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll never know. More with Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. 621 traffic now, WWL. 627, Jordan Fiegel, Manning Master Control, doing a job of five people again today. And Professor Justin Buechler, our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, the president-elect, President Trump, musing about changing the name or suggesting changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Also talking about Greenland and wanting to either buy or take over Greenland from Denmark. And I think this is interesting because it can cause some cognitive dissonance in people that are climate change deniers but Trump supporters, because one of the reasons that President Trump wants Greenland is because of its strategic location for a new shipping route that can open up as the Arctic ice melts. So I can see where that could cause some people to say, wait, is it what? How could I? What do I believe? How? What? Tell me of the possibility of either of these things, Professor, of either the president taking over Greenland with military action or buying it from Denmark. They have no intention of selling it, as I understand it, or renaming the Gulf of Mexico. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of his minions, has already introduced legislation to do just that.
Okay, well, we can take these separately. As far as taking over Greenland, the likelihood of that is, let's say, very low. Denmark is not going to sell it. They've announced that they are not going to sell it. And if Denmark is not going to sell it, then the only option would be taking it militarily. The likelihood of starting a war with Denmark to take Greenland is, I think, very low. That strikes me as one of those Donald Trump statements that we are best ignoring as just kind of background noise. As far as renaming the Gulf of Mexico, well, I mean, in principle, somebody could pass Congress could pass legislation and say that we are going to call it the Gulf of America, but nobody else would have to call it the Gulf of America. I mean, we could pass legislation to declare it whatever we want on our official documents and maps. But if everybody else ignores it, then so what? That would be kind of meaningless. So I'm not sure what that would do so much as waste Congress's time. But then again, what else does Congress do? So there's that.
Could this be a way to distract everybody from the serious things of his cabinet choices?
I don't know. I mean, we've already had some cabinet drama with Matt Gaetz and the withdrawal of Matt Gaetz. I mean, the big drama with the cabinet right now would be with Pete Hegseth, although we've had the announcement from John Thune that Hegseth probably has the votes. There may still be some drama with the actual votes. There may be some drama with RFK Jr., but I'm not sure that a vote to rename the Gulf of Mexico would do anything. It would probably happen significantly after any official cabinet confirmations anyway. I think it's just one of those bits of noise coming from Trump that probably doesn't amount to much.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Professor Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. We come back, we'll talk to Dr. Fred Lopez about a new virus in China, also about the bird flu. Minute late, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Eno's Inn. 6:46, 14 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Weather's cold, means we're all going to be, I guess, maybe closer. I don't know. Dr. Fred Lopez joins us, Professor of Medicine, Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Good morning, Dr. Fred. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy.
I make my own rules on this. When I talk to somebody I haven't spoken to since the start of the year and it's still early, I tell them Happy New Year. So Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Tommy.
Let's talk about, I mentioned the weather being cold, and I know we'll start maybe with some of this nasty respiratory stuff that's going around affecting some members of the WWL staff, as a matter of fact. What happens with the cold weather? What are we in closer quarters, or why is it that the cold weather sometimes tends to lend itself to viruses or flu spreading?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've hit the most important point, which is that when the weather gets colder, people go indoors, they congregate together. And if somebody's sick, they're likely to transmit viruses of all types to other people. Right now, we're seeing very high levels of flu-like activity in Louisiana and in most of the United States. In fact, 80% of the United States right now has high to very high levels of flu-like activity. And it might be the flu virus, but it might be another virus. It may be COVID. It might be human metapneumovirus, which is a virus we've been hearing about from other parts of the world recently. It could be enteroviruses, adenoviruses. But these cold viruses transmit very effectively during the cold weather months because people are close together and are able to transmit these viruses easily to one another.
Is what's going around, or could what's going around be prevented with vaccines, or is it just akin to the common cold?
Well, it's, you know, right now what we're seeing a lot of is flu. And yes, flu is a vaccine preventable illness. Unfortunately, about 50% of adults don't get the flu vaccine every year, even though it's recommended for everyone 6 months of age and older. But it is a vaccine preventable illness. COVID is a vaccine preventable illness. RSV is a vaccine preventable illness. But not everyone's getting their vaccines. And as a result, we're seeing levels of viral activity that's quite high. And I would encourage anyone who still hasn't gotten the flu vaccine, for example, to get it, because right now, again, Louisiana is one of the states with the highest levels of flu-like activity in the United States.
You read my mind, Doc, or at least read my confession, because I was getting ready to say I haven't had the COVID shot yet, haven't had the flu vaccine, not that I'm opposed to it. I just for whatever reason, didn't find a chance to get it. And I've been hanging around with some people doing some stuff. So it's not too late. I really should get all of these, right?
It's not too late. And even if you've had the flu, you want to get the flu vaccine. There are multiple strains of the flu virus that are going to circulate during a particular flu season. And what we're seeing right now may not be the same flu virus that we see in a couple of months. And that vaccine should contain the strain types that are most likely to circulate this year. And they can prevent you from getting infected with those other flu strains that might emerge later in the flu season. So even if you've had the flu, get the flu vaccine.
Go to CVS today. That's who does the things for our plan. And I'm not trying to do a commercial, Dr. Fred. So for people that are, say, over 50, they should get what? COVID, flu, pneumonia, RSV, what?
Yeah, so they should definitely get COVID. The updated vaccine was released in the fall, in September. Unfortunately, only about 20% of adults have availed themselves of the updated COVID vaccine. We've talked about the flu vaccine. They should get that. RSV vaccine, the CDC recommends that for everyone 75 years of age and older. And if you're 60 to 74 years of age, if you've got an increased risk for severe infection with RSV, which is otherwise known as respiratory syncytial virus, these would be people who have, for example, asthma or emphysema or other chronic medical conditions. They should also get the RSV vaccine. The pneumonia vaccine is also available. Pneumonia vaccine is actually directed against a bacterial organism known as Streptococcus pneumoniae, but it's now been recommended for people 50 years of age and older. So that's something else you want to talk about with your health care provider.
All right, let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Dr. Fred Lopez. We'll talk about what's going on in China with, I think it's a routine outbreak there, but we'll see when we come back. Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans, 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:56, 4 till 7. Dr. Fred, that's Jordan Fiegel, Manning Master Control, bringing us back with shots. I think in the medical profession, you prefer to call them injections, don't you?
We do call them both.
Yeah, a little mosquito. What did Dennis tell you? A little mosquito bite. That's what you're going to feel. Let me address this, please, for people that are texting in. I don't want to engage anybody in an argument. Do whatever you want. It's America, right? Believe what you want now. Make up whatever you want. It's America. Now, when it comes to science, though, for people that take issue with COVID vaccine preventing COVID, I don't know that anybody said it will prevent you from keeping COVID. I think the idea of the vaccine is while it may prevent you from getting COVID, it will make sure it will help ensure that you don't wind up in the hospital. Accurate or keep it.
Yeah.
Clean that up for me, Dr. Fred. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely correct. I think there's a misconception that these vaccines, this is true for flu and COVID-19 and other vaccines, that they prevent you from getting the infection. They do, to a certain degree, prevent people from getting the infection. But what their major value is to prevent people who get infected from developing complications that might result in hospitalization and, unfortunately, sometimes death. And so these vaccines are very good at preventing serious complications, and that's where they're most effective.
When it comes to what's going on in China with this, what is it, HMPV virus? Is that anything that we should be concerned about, or is it kind of like China virus January? Uh-oh, don't start that again.
Yeah, I think that probably has a little bit to do with it. It's got a name that also wreaks a little bit of fear. The HMPV stands for human metapneumovirus. And that sounds really kind of evil as a virus with that name. But it's been around. We've known about it since 2001. It circulates every virus season, winter virus season, along with flu and RSV and COVID-19. And so we've known about it. It usually infects people before they're 5 years of age. It can cause cold-like or flu-like illnesses. And the concern is that people who have weakened immune systems, who are older with with chronic medical conditions, that they can develop more severe complications like pneumonia, for example. So it is a concern year to year to year, and we know about it. It circulates every winter, but it is getting some press because the cases have been surging in northern China. But I don't think this is a concern in the United States any more than it is every winter. The issue with HMPV is that we don't have a vaccine and we don't have any treatments that can target this virus like we do for flu and COVID-19. So that's where there is a difference between these viruses. But I don't think this is something we should be extremely concerned about. We can prevent it in the same ways we prevent other viral infections. If you're sick, wash your hands, avoid touching other people who can then touch their eyes, mouth, and nose and cause infection by transmitting the virus in that way. And if you're sick, stay home. Don't transmit these viruses to other people who might be more susceptible to complications, and get your vaccines.
That is the message of our boss, Diane Newman, and it couldn't be a better one. If you're sick, stay home. Thank you, Dr. Fred. Appreciate your time as always. Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. When we come back, we're going to spend the hour talking to Alonzo Knox, state representative whose district includes the French Quarter. Also, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser.